We continue our learning of the Nishmas David ben Menachem Shem Nechav Yaakov ben Menachem Zaliyo. We are in Bava Metzia, Perikim Omishtu Niyad Aleph. Hamafkin Mos Eitzel Shulchani. Here you have someone who deposits money with the Shulchani, with the money changer. The money changer is someone who usually needs coins. That's part of his business. So here the Mishnah says, Im Tzururin, if the money that the Shulchani, the money changer, is given is bound, and Bar Tunur says vachasumen, they're not only bound there, but they're sealed. Or he says kishurim kesher mishuna, there's some type of unusual knot. Then the Mishnah says lo yishtamish b'hem. The shulchani should not be using that. The fact that they only gave it to him in that way, it means he doesn't want the shulchani. The shulchani is going to guard it. He's the shomer, but he should not be using that money, even though he's a money changer. Obviously, the knot that has that the kesher mishuna, the knot that's unusual, or the fact that they're sealed, that says I don't want you using them. Lefikach im avdu eino chayav b'acharius, and therefore if they are lost, he, the money changer, is not chayav b'acharius. He is a shomer chinam, and therefore shomer chinam is pater on geneva of aveda. As long as he's not negligent, he's not going to be. Therefore, he's not going to be chayav if it's lost. Mutarin, but if they're given and they're untied, so the money's not tied up, or it's tied, but it's not an unusual knot. It's a typical knot, and therefore the understanding is that the shulchani is going to be using and has the right to use that money. Obviously, has to return it, or return its value. So yishtamish b'hem. Therefore, he has the right to use them. And lefikachim of duchay b'achrayus. Therefore, if it lost, of course, he's going to be chayv b'achrayus. And this would be true even if he didn't actually use them. The owner understands that potentially the money changer can use them. And therefore, if anything happens, the fact that he has the right to use the coins, so he becomes like a shomer sachar now. He has the right to use the coins. It's almost like he's being paid. He profits something, and therefore, if it's lost or stolen, he's going to be chayav to pay for it. Now, let's say he actually uses the money, so then he becomes like a showel, and then he's going to be chayav for ones as well. Mishnah continues, Eitzel Balabayis. Let's say, though, you deposit money, coins, not with the money changer, not with the shulchani, but a Balabayis, a regular homeowner, a regular person. Bein sururin uvein mutarin, lo yishtamesh b'hem. Then he shouldn't have been using them even if they're untied. Even if that's not unusual. He should not be using them. The assumption is when you're giving money to a Balabayis, not to a shulchani, even if it's untied, the assumption is that he's guarding them and he's not, therefore, should not be using them. Lefikachim avdu enu chay b'acharius. And he is a shomer chinam. Therefore, if they're lost, he's not chayv b'acharayis, not chayv to pay, as a shomer chinam is not chayv in aveda. Chenvani, what about a storekeeper? What's his status? So, kibalabayis, divrei Rabbi Meir believes that just like a balabayis can't use the money that's given to him, and that would be true even if it's untied, so too a storekeeper as well. You'll say a storekeeper, he uses money. It's true, he has to use money, he has to buy different things, maybe. He buys wine, he buys fruit, buys oil, and things like that for his store. Nonetheless, we treat him like a balabayis with respect to the money, because by giving him money, just because he gave him money doesn't mean I'm giving you money for you to buy all of your things that you need for your store. You're not a shulchani, and therefore the assumption is that he's given the money to guard. That is Rabbi Meir's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, chenvani k'shulchani, he disagrees. He says, no, we treat a storekeeper just like we're a money changer. The same way he needs money, he needs cash. And when a person gives him cash, the assumption is that he's giving him the right to use it, assuming it's untied or it's a knot that is not unusual. So therefore, that Rabbi Yehuda believes that a chenvani has the status like a shulchani. Perek Gimel Mishnah Yud Beis Hashaleach Yad Bipikadon. Mentioned in the past, a person who's a shomer on an object obviously doesn't have the right to use it. The assumption is that he's there to guard it. And now he sholech bo yad, he literally sends his hand forth towards this to use this object, the pikadon they should not be using. So what happens if, in fact, he is sholech yad? And this would be true, by the way, even if he didn't actually do so, but the plan is that he has in mind now to be sholech bo yad. So the end of the Mishnah actually speaks about the case where a person is thinking about or says he's going to Mishloach HaYad. The beginning of the Mishnah is just where a person actually does physically use the pikadon. So Beishamai Omrim Yilke Bechaser Uviyasir literally means he's going to be punished, Yilke like Malkos, but he's going to be punished with Chaser, where there is with the loss, Uviyasir, and with the profit. So the Gemara explains what this means is like this. Let's imagine he was the Shomer was given a sheep, and it was laden with wool. And after he was sholeach boyad, so he's just supposed to guard this, he's not supposed to touch it at all, but he does. And he sholeach boyad, and then it was shorn. And now the wool, it's no longer has wool. So that's what we mean chaser. It's chasra etzlo. The fact that now the fact that the sheep no longer has the wool upon it. So now it depreciates, so to speak, because the sheep doesn't have the wool anymore. So what's the halacha in such a case? Now that he sholeach bo yad, and now that it's time to pay, is brought to court, whatever it may be, or the owner says, hey, you weren't supposed to touch my sheep. So, but the sheep now doesn't have any wool on it. So the halacha is yilke b'chaser. He has to pay the value of the sheep and the value of the gizos of the shorn wool. Even though the wool's not on it now, he has to pay for the sheep and the shorn wool. That's what it means, yilke b'chaser. Maybe that would be obvious to us, but the next statement, which is yilke, which is uviyaser, may not be so obvious. This is where the shomer was given a sheep which was already shorn. So there's no wool on it at all. And then he was sholeach boyad. Then he used it for himself. And it now, after some time, it now became laden with wool. And now the owner says, hey, I want my animal back. It was under, and we realize that he was sholeach boyad. So the halacha is that he has to pay the value of the sheep the way it is now, even though when he was sholeach boyad, or when he got it, it didn't have any wool on it at all. Since it has wool on it now, he yilka b'yasser. He loses out either way. He's going to be punished and has to pay for the value of a sheep with wool. That's Reish Shammai's opinion. Veisilal omrim kishas hotzah. No, you don't pay. It's not always you lose out. The way it was like this. You pay for the value of what it was worth, kishas hotzah, at the time when you took it out of the owner's house, which means when you became the shomer. If it was laden with wool, you're going to pay for a sheep with wool. But if it was already shorn, so then it doesn't matter that it now grew wool. You only have to pay for the value of what it was when you became the shomer. And others say that it's not kishas hotzah, when it was taken out of the owner's house when you became a shomer, but rather kishas hotzah when you became a goslin, when you were sholeach boyad. What did the sheep look like when you sholeach boyad? Because that's when, in fact, we could say technically, really, that's when you took it out of the owner's rishus, whatever its value is at that time. That is Beis Hillel's opinion. So Beis Shammai says you lose out either way. Beis Hillel says kishas hotzah, the value was when you took it out of the owner's home, whether it means when you stole it or when you became a shomer. Rabbi Akiva Omer, kishas Hatviya. He says at the time, whatever it was worth, at the time that the mafkid is being tovea, is demanding to be paid. And so, in other words, when he brings the shomer to Beis Din, whatever it's worth at that time, that could be a month later, whatever the sheep is worth at that time, that's what you pay. Now, that's a little bit strange. So the Gemara explains, the Rabbi Akiva learns this from the Pasuk in Sefer Vayirka, Parakeh, where the Pasuk says, La'asher hu lo yitinenu biyom ashmas. So you will have to pay the owner of the value of whatever it is that you took, biyom hashmaso, on the day of guilt. Biyom hashmaso is the assumption is the day you're chayiv in din, you're chayiv in beis din. So if that's the value of the animal that you are sholeach boyad, that you weren't supposed to use and you use for yourself, whatever the value of the animal is, when you come to Beis Din, that's what you pay. Then the Mishnah says, Achoshev l'shloach yad, because this is what we mentioned when we started the Mishnah. Here's someone who does not actually send forth his hand to use the pikadon that he should be watching. He thought about it. And the assumption is of choshev really means that he said in front of two edim, I plan on being shalech, but I plan, I know I'm only a shomer, I shouldn't be touching this, but I plan on using this. So Beis Shammai omrim chayev, if any onus happens to it, he's already chayev, as if he was shalech boyad. We treat him the same way someone who shalech boyad becomes chayev in any onus that happens to the animal, to whatever it is, to the object. The same thing is true here. A shalech boyad is a goslin. And even though we didn't touch it, nonetheless, the fact that he said in front of two Eidim, I plan on using this, he is going to be chayv in any onus that happens, even though he hasn't touched it yet. Where do we learn this from? Pasuk says, I'll call devar pesha. Pesha means your negligence. Devar pesha means like dibor, like speech. Yes, the moment you speak, you express you that you're planning on shalel, or using the item that you're supposed to be watching, you're considered a poshea. I'll call devar pesha, and you become like a goslin and chayv in any onus that happens. I disagree. You're not chayiv in own sin until you shalech boyad. When do you become a gossip? When you actually take hold of it. Shneamar. And in fact, here, the Mishnah quotes Beis Hillel's pasuk. Im lo shalach yado b'meleches re'eu. It says, what it's all based on shalichus yad, where you actually use your hand physically and use the object. What did Beis Hillel learn from al kol devar pesha? Devar sounds like dibur. So Beis Hillel learns the following. This is a quote from the Gemara. Sheyachol ein li elohu. I would have thought that only the shomer himself, who was sholech boyad in the pikadon in the deposit, is going to be chayev and become like a gazlan and be chayev and even an ones. Amar la'avdu l'shlucho minayin. How do you know if he, the shomer, said to his eved or to a shaliach, pointed an agent? How do you know that the sender, the shomer, is going to be chayv if he appoints someone else to do it? Minayin, how do you know he's chayv? Tamal Amar, I'll call devar pesha. What's the devar? The devar is the fact that he's appointed someone. He said to someone, I want you to be sholech boyad. I want to use it. That becomes actually the shomer's liability. Ketza. Now Mishnah says, some don't have the word ketza at all. The question here just is how does shlichus yad work? What's considered shlichus yad? And we'll see, it's only when you actually pick up the item, the same when you make a kinyan on metalton, movable objects, you have to do hagbah, you have to pick it up. So if you have a barrel and you just tip it, so you're not going to, that's not considered shlichus yad. So says the Mishnah, he tahesechavis, you have a shomer, and he tipped the barrel of wine that he's watching and didn't pick it up off the ground, just tipped it a little bit, v'natal him in a revius, and took a revius of a lug of yayin, I had 3 to 4 ounces, what we make kiddush on, that's what he took out, v'nishbra, and then after some time, that barrel broke bonus, right? The complete accident happened sometime afterwards, not because he tipped it now. Halach is eno mishalim. He does not, eno mishalim, elo revius. All he has to pay for is the revius of wine that he stole that he shouldn't be using. He wasn't kone the chavis to be chayv and own sin. He wasn't sholeach boyad because he never did a hagbah on it. He has to pay for the revius of wine he shouldn't be drinking. Now, however, the halacha is that, let's say the wine became spoiled and we recognize it became spoiled because he took out some wine, because the emptier the barrel, the easier it spoils, then he's going to be chayv. That's considered as if his action caused it to be become spoiled. That would not be considered grama indirect. That would be considered direct enough to be chayev, but that's only if it spoils. Then the Mishnah says, Higbi of an atal hemen revius, but let's say he picked it up and took a revius. And the Gemara says, actually, it's not, even if he didn't take a revius. Once he picked it up with in mind to take a revius, even though he didn't take any wine out at all, Vinishbar, and then it broke sometime afterwards and it was an ones, Mishalim de Mekula, he has to pay everything, the whole value of the chavis. Why? Once he picks it up, he's konet, with in mind to Sholech Boyad. Now he becomes chayv in onsin that happens to it.